Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. You like the emphasis that I did today? Because what I'm getting into is the fact that I have people joining me today on today's show. It's Carl and Ruth Ann. Now, these two folks are married, and they just happen to be real estate investors. They also happen to be members of Lifestyles Unlimited. And what they have done in their life is significant. You heard me correctly. It's significant. And the reason that I brought them onto the show is because I want them to explain to you what that they have done with their lives since becoming members of Lifestyles Unlimited way back in 2017. Yeah, you heard me correctly. They've been members for almost 5 years. They joined in the same year that I joined. And like me, they got busy changing the trajectory of their lives. And what we're going to get into today is we're going to talk about the successes that they've had. And more importantly, I'll let them share all kinds of insider information with you because it's totally legal to do in the real estate realm, but it's not legal to do if you're like in that stock market realm, right? You're tracking. Okay, so with no further ado, let me do this. Let me bring Carl and Ruth Ann onto the show. How are you all today?
We're great. It's great to be here.
Hey, Al Gordon. Glad to join you.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I hope you guys are ready to have a ton of fun because I already know that I'm having fun. I think you're having fun, and I think the audience is going to have a blast too. What do you say?
I think so. I'm hoping somebody out there can relate to our story.
And we are super fun people. Can't wait to talk about it.
So you guys have some interesting careers that you're in the process of destroying, are you not?
we're working our way out of them as quickly as we can, yes. I have been an educator for 30 years. I spent 25 years in a high school classroom, and the last five I've been in campus leadership.
And I've been an accountant all my life, almost. I'm a CPA. I work for a nonprofit here in Austin, Texas. And I'd love to be able to do that for the next 20 years as a volunteer.
Wow. So you actually kind of like that accounting stuff, right?
Well, I do enjoy the job. It's a great organization. It'd be great to do it for free, get financially independent with our real estate, and to give back would be a pretty amazing accomplishment.
That would actually benefit the organization because whatever they're carving out to help you live life, they could spend that on other things and maybe doing even more good.
Correct.
Wow, what a great goal.
Maybe someday.
How close are you guys to actually stepping away from those careers as far as being paid to do that sort of stuff and regaining control of your lives?
Probably within 3 to 5 years of being able to do that. The only thing that's slowing us down is really, once you start to have some success, you start to recalibrate, okay, so what lifestyle do we want? Maybe you keep the bar a little low, and when you realize the potential you have to make money and that maybe you can maximize that a little bit more, you start thinking about, okay, can we build, what kind of lifestyle can we have? What else can we do to, improve the lifestyle of our children and our grandchildren? So it's not so much that, it's within reach where we are now. The question is, are we recalibrating what the goal is?
Boy, I like that. I like that a lot. Now, I happen to know that you all followed a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey for a while. Is that true?
Well, not only did we follow the guidelines of Dave Ramsey, but we were facilitators of his program at our church. We were we hosted those meetings and are still a real big believer that Dave Ramsey can really help stabilize a family's financial well-being. But we would always, now, given the experience that we've had, we would say that's kind of step one. And then step two would be pursue lifestyles and real estate investment.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Ruth Ann. I actually went through that Dave Ramsey course a long time ago when I was a member of a church in California, and I thought it was very beneficial. I really thought it helped me to organize and see money in a different way, but it's still kind of a consumer's mentality, isn't it?
It is. I think for Carl and I both, what was really helpful is that we had come out of we'd both been divorced, and there was some financial wreckage that had happened. And so you've never been taught how to manage financial wreckage. You don't anticipate that it's going to happen to you. And so how you recover from that is like this unknown. And particularly if you're an educated person and you're surrounded by financially stable people, nobody else in your life has that kind of viewpoint. So it helped us in that regard. It's been really rewarding to be able to come along other people, because there's a lot of shame, involved in that kind of financial wreckage. And so to be able to help other people kind of right their ship is worthwhile. So that's really where we benefited.
But now you guys really benefit from a millionaire's mindset, do you not? I mean, you look at money differently. You look at how you utilize your money, and you make sure that your money is actually doing the best it can do for you at all times, right?
Absolutely. I think in my mind, it's really simplistic. One of the things I learned from Dave Ramsey that set us up well for lifestyles was understanding that the difference between allowing yourself to be overwhelmed by consumer debt and then using debt to your advantage to grow real estate wealth.
Wow, there's that insider information we were just talking about. When we come back from the break, I'm going to just turn Ruth Ann loose. You're going to learn so much. Stick around.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's going to crash. It's going to be better next year. I've got to listen to 4 more classes. I love guys come up to me all the time. You know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So, Carl, you're kind of the guy responsible for, you know, letting Lifestyles Unlimited into your life. Are you not? Were you the guy that, you know, said, hey, Ruth Ann, this is a good idea?
Yeah, I was the guy that listened to Dale on the radio for 2 years while I drove home from my second job late at night. And, I could relate to what he was saying and how the finances work and how real estate worked. And I thought at first, what is this lifestyle deal on a radio show? I just didn't dig it.
Sounds like a swingers club, huh?
Yeah, well, after 2 years, I thought there's something legit about this. It's been going on too long. I've been listening. I love what I'm hearing, and that's kind of just it. Finally triggered. I got to figure out what this group is all about, and just started asking some questions. Found a couple people who were members, and they actually got invited to a case study, and that's kind of how it all got started.
So, Ruth Ann, when Carl came home with this bright idea that he was going to radically change your life using real estate, what was your impression?
I was somewhere between ambivalence and skepticism.
Wow.
I was really just kind of, you know, we had been talking about, you know, we had met with a financial planner. We knew that we had had some real disruptions in our lives that had thrown us off track for retirement. And so we had met with a financial planner, and it was pretty disheartening because we realized we were behind the curve. Like, it was going to be a real challenge to invest in the stock market and try to set ourselves up for retirement. So we were, you know, already a little nervous about it. And all of a sudden, you know, we'd been meeting with this financial advisor, and all of a sudden I felt like it was a left turn. Carl was saying, I want to learn more about real estate investing. I think this is maybe the path that we should pursue. And so I felt a little bit like, well, we've already started in this direction. I don't want to take a left turn right now. And it felt like it required, instead of like turning your money over to somebody else where it was going to be automatic pilot, it felt like it was going to take too much brain power. And what in the world, who do we think we are trying to do something as complicated as real estate? It sounds like a recipe for disaster. So that's kind of where my headspace was.
Yeah, I think your headspace is exactly where it was supposed to be, because I will tell you, my wife Tina thought the exact same way you did. You know, her impression was, okay, Al, you know, I love you. I'll endure whatever you're going to drag us through. You've dragged us through a couple of these things before that didn't work out, but you know what? I love you, and I'm going to support you. That was kind of your mindset, wasn't it?
It was. And also part of it was, okay, if you want to put forth the effort, great, but I don't count on me to be an active participant. Like, you do it, and whatever you say, you're going to have to own this. You're going to have to, you know, really do it on your own. That was my initial attitude.
So what changed your mind?
Carl went to the 2-day. He came back, and you know, he said, you know, I'm ready to buy our first property. And we had set aside, you know, we had pulled together a little bit of money in order to do that. And he just got nervous. And maybe I'll let him speak to that.
Yeah, we actually put a contract on a house, went through the option period. It was one that had already been refurbished, rehabbed. It was supposed to be perfectly clean, ready to go, had good cash flow. There wasn't any equity capture involved, but it was just a, you know, clean rent house. And the inspection came back, and it had a few things that, you know, here I am, a rookie, just kind of made me a little nervous on a house that was supposed to be fully rehabbed. And, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, we just didn't seem right. Too much uncertainty, and just really didn't know that much about what, especially what the inspection report had to say. So we kind of just said, sorry, we're out.
I think Carl really lacked confidence in the decision-making because I wasn't part of that conversation. And so after that, he said, look, I really want to do this, but I don't want to do it without you. So he said, would you please go to the 2-day so you can hear the same message that I heard, that you have the same information, so that somebody is looking at these decisions with the same kind of lenses that I am. And so I reluctantly agreed to attend the 2-day myself. And so that was the real turning point, because once we both had access to that information, we were both on the same page, and we were both excited and fired up about it, that's when we started to take action.
So what was it in the 2-day that really just changed your mind? And I'm guessing both of you might have different answers to that question. So feel free.
I think for me, I was concerned that it was that we were showing up for a sales pitch, that we were going to be a captive audience, and that there was going to be a sales pitch. What I was surprised by is the number of Lifestyles Unlimited members who come back to the 2-day again and again and again. They're listening because they're trying to learn more, because you can always glean additional information. But what they also were there doing is networking with all of us that were hearing it for the first time. They were transparent with their experiences. They were talking about the first time they came to a 2-day. They were talking about the deals that they did. They talked about the ones that were great, that were huge hits, the ones that were so-so. It just felt so honest and sincere. And so it was a whole network. It was a whole group of people that were sharing their experiences. And that created some legitimacy that gave me a lot of confidence. So that was kind of number one. And then the second thing that made a difference to me is that the 2-day did such a, Dave Fisher did such a great job of mapping out really the guiding principles behind the analysis of the deals. And once you have those kind of basic guiding principles, you still have so much kind of detail to learn and put it into practice. But once you know those guiding principles, that's the aha. That's where you go, wow, this makes sense.
Carl, you got anything to add to that? Because I think Ruth Ann and Tina are interchangeable. I'll be 100% honest with you. But
I would love to meet Tina.
No, I think Ruth Ann did a great job summing it up. You know, for me, I kind of generally understood the financial advantage of real estate. I just didn't know how to do it. And that's what Lifestyles offered me, was a system, a platform, a framework of, you know, here's your investment realtor, here's some rehab people, here's, you know, people to help and mentor you along the process.
Yeah, what Carl and Ruth Ann are explaining to you is how they formed their team, and their team starts with the two of them, and then from there, they expanded. And we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what that team has done for them. Stick around.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, if you're just joining me, you're not just joining me, you're joining Carl, Ruth Ann, and myself. And together, we are explaining to you this real estate world. And this real estate world is not that complex. Now, you may think it's highly complex, and trust me, you would not be alone. As a matter of fact, Ruth Ann mentioned earlier on the show that she had a perception that this real estate stuff is massively complex. But once you're taught how to do it correctly, once you're taught how to do it effectively, it not only makes it easy, but it takes a lot of the risk out of it, doesn't it?
I mean, absolutely. I think one of the things I've even discovered is that I have found real estate, if you just apply those basic principles, to actually be pretty flexible and forgiving. So even if you don't execute everything perfectly, the system still works.
Hey, you guys want to play a little game with me?
Sure.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. This game is called Count the Degrees. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
I'll go first. My number is 2, meaning I have 2 college degrees. Carl, it's your turn.
Well, I have one college degree, and I have a certification of the state that says I'm a certified public accountant. So there's two for you.
I'll take two. Okay, so we're up to four. Ruth Ann, what are you going to pile on?
I have a bachelor's degree, and I have a master's of education.
So we have 6 degrees so far. All right, here's the question. Amongst us highly educated individuals, which one of us went to a college or university and earned a degree where they taught us how to successfully invest in real estate, as well as focusing on building wealth for our families?
I would say none of us.
I would none? Say zero.
Yeah, I got nothing too. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how we all probably started in the same place? I think that you were probably advised the way I was advised, which was go to school, get good grades, get into the workforce. The better your grades, the better the job. That'll get you set up for life. You can trade time for money, and then you start throwing money in these 401ks. Or you probably got something special, Ruth Ann, because you were an educator. They got those teacher things, right? You probably were putting money in those, were you not?
Those 403Bs.
Yeah, those things.
I must have put like $8,000 or $9,000 into them, just a huge amount.
Okay.
And now I have like $10,000.
Point made. And here's the other question I got for the both of you. In 2017, when you became members of Lifestyles Unlimited, where were you in your lifespan? In other words, you know, we're in your 40s, we're in your 50s. Where were you guys at when you made this radical change away from what you were doing to what you're doing now?
I was in my late 40s. Carl was in his early 60s.
Hello. Did you hear that, Al?
I did. You're a cradle robber, too. Yeah.
6-0.
I love it. All right. And that's the point I want to make, is that it doesn't matter how old you are when you start. You've got to start. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if anything, I wish I could go back when Carl first started listening to Dell on the radio and pull the trigger then.
Yeah, because we can't get back any of that time, can we?
That's correct.
So in the last 4+ years where you've been repurposing your money, how have your returns been commensurate with what they were before with whatever you were doing for retirement?
No, we have definitely exceeded what we were doing previously, and really kind of exceeded our wildest expectations.
You want to hear some numbers, or do you want to wait till we get a little bit further down the trail?
Hey, you're the numbers guy, man. I'm just going to sit back, because when the accountant speaks, I shut up.
We started with a very meager amount of money, $105,000, and 3 to 4 years later, we've turned it into about $290,000 of cash, and we still have 3 of the 6 investments that we started with, and we're buying a fourth. So we've taken literally nothing and turned it into almost 3 times that. So we're pretty excited. Obviously, I didn't see that happening, but here we are. It's on paper, and it's a pretty amazing process.
Where did that $105,000 come from? I mean, did you have a jar in your backyard that you buried? You know, were you one of those kind of guys, or where was that money sitting?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it was kind of a difficult question. We had saved up a little bit of money, and we had a couple of small retirement accounts that we pulled the money out of. But the bulk of it, we actually pulled out of our equity in our personal home. And that was interesting because as an intellectual exercise, I understood that it made sense to pull that money out of this, you know, that equity out of our house and to use that to invest. But that's a real emotional decision. And I would say that was one of the hurdles for me. That was probably the most difficult decision And, you know, and we could have pulled out more, and I was so nervous about it. I didn't want to. And so that, you know, one of the first decisions that we made was to do that. And now I look back and what it, we've turned that into, you know, the holdings that we still have, the equity that's still growing, the cash flow, the, you know, annual cash flow that we're still enjoying off of that initial investment, and then the enormous, you know, profit that we've pulled out and are now able to do even more investing with. So,
yeah, I think it's really neat how, you know, just about everybody does the same thing you did. You know, you kind of go in this with a little bit of apprehension, and, you know, you start doing things that are not in agreement with everybody that's around you, right? Because when you probably told people that you were going to cash in your retirement funds and pull the money out, and you're going to tap into the equity in your house because you're going to use that money to invest, I bet some of your friends were like cringing. I bet it was like nails on the chalkboard to them to hear you say things like that.
I think so. I mean, I was even, you know, pretty kept that pretty close to the chest, so to speak, because I knew what people's response would be, and it felt really risky, particularly since, you know, we had financial trouble, you know, in our adult life. So it was kind of like, oh gosh, you know, I didn't want it to be like, oh, there they go again, you know. making bad decisions, or they're going to find themselves in trouble again. And, you know, that was just really difficult.
What are you exactly doing with your assets? I mean, you finally got around to buying your first one. Well, you didn't buy your first one. You let the first one go, but then you went after the second one because you had more confidence, and you still have that house in your portfolio. Is that true?
We just sold that house. It was a pretty fun purchase. It was the numbers worked, and there was a single mom school teacher, and I had been a single mom for a number of years, and so there was a tenant already in the property, so we, you know, were happy about that, and so that just really resonated with us, and we were able to come in and kind of make the house even nicer for her. But we just sold that house, and I think we made about $60,000 on it. And it was a cash out of pocket, I think, was around $14,000. So it cost us $14,000, and we made cash flow on it and then sold it and profited another $60,000.
And we'll be back right after this.
You allowed 15,000 members into your sandbox.
Thank you.
And so that speaks volumes. So for that, and as a family.
So you know why I did that? Everybody always asks, why did you do this? Because I was an ugly kid. My parents used to have to put a pork chop around my neck so the dog would play with me. And so I always wanted to have friends, and I figured if I could make people rich, they might be my friend.
Join Dell and his successful friends. Start with the free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. As we're going to break, Ruth Ann was telling us about that first asset that they put in their portfolio, and she mentioned that it only cost them $14,000 total cash out of pocket to get into that deal. They just recently sold that particular property, and they made $60,000. So for those of you that are trying to figure out the math, essentially over a four-year period, they turned 14 into 60. Okay, thank goodness I have a CPA on the show. So Carl, what kind of rate of return are we looking at?
That's a really large rate of return. Very large.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking so. So I think it's just amazing that over a four-year period, you took a little bucket of money and you turned into a big bucket of money, and you essentially made that money reproduce every year. I mean, isn't that kind of what happened there?
Yeah, it had cash flow kind of, you know, along the way, which wasn't really our big emphasis, but it certainly helped. But yeah, we turned essentially $100,000 into almost $290,000. So there's your 273% of all six properties. We still own three of them, but I mean, our little nugget of cash has turned into, you know, something really substantial. It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's amazing how everything scales up so fast. So you've sold three of the six properties so far, correct?
Correct.
What are you doing with that money? You guys going out and buying, you know, boats, jet skis? You just partying? What are you doing with that money?
We're buying more real estate. We we purchased another one in house in San Antonio. We're looking for more properties. So the idea is that we're going to continue to do probably two to three single family properties a year. And then we're also taking some of those proceeds and we're investing in multifamilies. And so we're passive investors in some multifamily deals. So we're kind of have a little bit of a hybrid approach.
So you're involved in the best of both worlds.
That's correct.
Now, are you looking at the single family assets as assets that will help you get into more multifamily, or are you looking at them as something that you'll always keep in your portfolio?
Al, we're going to always keep them. And I've heard many much more experienced Lifestyles members have some of both. And what we love about the single family is it kind of the flexibility that gives us. I mean, A, we're having a lot of fun doing the work. I mean, buying something that really stinks, rehabbing it, and putting a new tenant in it and just watching it grow. It's a fun process. We work together really well on it, and it's really a blast. But, I mean, along the way, if we want to sell it anytime we want, then we've got that option. If we want to refinance it, we've got that option. So it's just another tool in the toolbox. I mean, the multifamily, we believe in it 100%, but we're very passive. We don't know when, you know, the deal's going to cash out or if the deal's going to cash out. But in the meantime, we've got, some extra tools that the single family allows us. And that, quite frankly, it's just too much fun not to have it.
Yeah, I think the most amazing experience that I have with what I have left of my single family, which is one, is just the fact that my residents are so thankful that they get a clean, functional place to live that's better than anything else that they've looked at. They're not paying over market for it. They're paying competitive market rents, actually a little bit less. I don't go right to the top. I come a little bit down because I want people to have value. I mean, do you guys see it the same way?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I told you the story about the school teacher that we came in and fixed up the house. You know, we had another house that already had a tenant in it who had been there for 7 years, and the house was not previously maintained or was not maintained by the previous owner. And we actually moved that tenant out for a month. We came in and we did a complete rehab. And she just cried when she came in and saw it for the first time. She couldn't believe that she was going to get to live in a place that was that wonderful and that beautiful. And that was just so much fun. It felt like a gift. It felt like we were giving someone a gift.
And I think the resident sort of has buy-in to the property. I mean, once they recognize that they're actually going to be able to live there, they're willing to take care of the property and keep you informed as to anything that goes wrong because they want to stay in that pristine condition, right?
That's absolutely true.
And it creates a great relationship, a business relationship, if you will, between yourselves and your resident, which is codified by a lease. And, you know, you do your part, they do their part, and it's a win-win scenario.
And the other thing is, when you do it the right way, when you really and truly, make sure that the house is safe, is clean, is in working condition. We get asked all the time about, is it a hassle? Do you get, calls for things to be repaired? Number one, we don't do any of the work ourselves ever. There's no need for us to do it. But number two, there's rarely anything that needs to be done because we maintain all of our homes in such pristine condition. And like you said, our tenants are so appreciative of that they really treat the homes as if they're their own.
What do you specifically target when you're looking for a single family asset? What are those things that, maybe your top one, two, or three things that must exist in order for you to move forward on the deal?
Well, Al, we're typically looking for, typical amount of square footage, 1,200 to 1,400 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, at least one car garage. You go out, are you comfortable with the neighborhood? We're looking for a working class neighborhood where everybody's got a pickup parked out front. They've got a car. They go to two jobs, and that they like the neighborhood. The house that or the people that Ruthann was mentioning, when we bought it, the house was a wreck. They wanted to. They'd been in the house for a long time. They wanted to stay another 2 years while their son graduated from high school. We fixed it up, and they were just crazy in love with it. And it's that kind of situation and that kind of house in that working class neighborhood. It turns out to be really golden. I mean, financially, it's a good deal for us. We get to provide just a fantastic home for somebody to live in. And
what Carl is not mentioning, Al, is that we also look for really run-down places.
Of course.
The junkier, the better. And that's really funny because, and we talked to a couple of Lifestyle members and, we kind of explained our situation. We said, we're older and we want to be a little bit more aggressive, right? We want to make sure that we're really building our wealth as quickly as possible. And so there were several that, really encouraged us in finding places where we could get a nice equity capture to really fix something up so that it had increased the value of the property. And that was scary at first, because how do we manage that? And how do you rehab these things? And how do you figure all of that out? And there's people that have a very different strategy, right? There's people that they want everything ready to go, and they just want it to be, a positive cash flow. And so they want the house in pristine condition. But we've done a little bit different approach. So we have found some interesting things, and we have done some really big renovations.
And, Al, the other thing that is so helpful is just the Lifestyle system. I mean, we have realtors who know what we are looking for. They know a good deal when they see it. They bring it to our attention. We get a chance to take a look at it. And that's really just a huge advantage of the whole Lifestyles system and network and program.
How far away is your closest house from where you live?
We live in Austin. We have had two homes in Houston and four homes in San Antonio.
That must drive you nuts driving to those towns every week to check on those houses.
And that is something we do not do.
What? That conventional wisdom says you're supposed to do that. Why don't you do that?
Yeah. During the rehab process, you go through 30, 45 days of rehabbing it. We're making a weekly trip just to check on it and visit with the contractor. It's, an hour away in San Antonio, and Houston was 2.5 hours. No big deal.
That's only because we're obsessive.
Yeah.
Like, truly,
yeah.
There's
yeah.
been some of it that they've done pictures and
I'll tell you what, guys. I gotta go because we're at the end of the show. But if you all want to get signed up, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com.
for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.